Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. The Friends with Money podcast is brought to you by CPI Plus from Host Plus. If you're a retiree looking for more certainty from your pension investment returns, search Host Plus CPI Plus today. Now, on to today's episode. We are edging nearer to that most wonderful time of the year once again, the end of financial year and tax time. So to get a head start on tax time this year, we thought we'd dive into some of the tax changes you need to know about, the groups that the ATO has its sights set on this year, and some of the things that many of us can start doing now to prepare. And joining us today to lend his expertise on those points and more is friend of the pod and director of tax communications at H&R Block, Mark Chapman. Mark, it is wonderful to have you back on the show.
Morning. It's a pleasure, Tom.
Thank you for joining us. Mark, to start us off, can you give us a brief overview of any tax changes that are coming up from the start of the 2024-2025 financial year on July 1?
Yeah, well, the big one really is the introduction of the Stage 3 tax cut. So everybody is going to be getting a tax cut from the 1st of July. That will mean more money in your pocket every payday. Obviously, the amount of the tax cut depends how much you earn. So, for example, if you earn $30,000, you'll get a $354 tax cut. That's over the course of the financial year. If you earn $100,000, you'll get $2,179. And if you earn $200,000, you'll get $4,529. So they're potentially quite significant sums once you get into those higher income brackets. That will come through in your pay packets, so you won't have to wait until the end of the tax year to get the benefit of that tax cut. You'll see it from the 1st of July in your pay packet. There'll be an immediate reduction in the amount of tax that you have to pay. And so that will, assist with the cost of living pressures, which we're currently all under.
Very much so.
Yes, indeed. The other one isn't really relevant for most people, but if you're running a small business, the instant asset write off is scheduled to end on the 30th of June 2024, so it potentially isn't going to be around in the next tax year. So, you know, if your business is planning to acquire capital assets, it is very definitely worth taking advantage of the instant asset write-off now and through until the 30th of June. You do need to be a small business, which means you have to have a turnover of less than $10 billion, and the instant asset write-off is capped at assets costing less than $20,000. So it's not quite as generous as the old temporary full expensing measure, but it's still quite generous. I say that this is scheduled to end, it's legislated to end on the 30th of June, but obviously we don't know what will be in the federal budget. The government might extend it in some way, and indeed there may well be other measures in the federal budget which will also impact taxpayers generally in the new financial year. We just don't know that at the moment.
As you said, Mark, for anyone interested in learning more about the Stage 3 tax cuts, because obviously there are a few changes there and they're quite comprehensive, check out episode 141 of Friends with Money for a deep dive on that very subject. So, Mark, I know that the ATO tends to crack down on certain areas or certain groups of taxpayers each year. So what do you think they may be paying particularly close attention to this year?
Yeah, well, they're certainly going to be looking very closely indeed at work-related deductions. The ATO believes that there's several billion dollars of missing tax caused by people overclaiming work-related deductions or claiming things that they weren't entitled to. They're going to be looking at, for example, working from home expenses. They're going to want to make sure that people are aware and have complied with the record-keeping requirements in respect to working from home expenses. Working from home, work-related deductions generally, people potentially claiming 5,000 kilometers for the use of their vehicle when they haven't actually done 5,000 kilometers. People taking advantage of the $300 exemption from substantiation for work-related expenses when they haven't actually spent anything. You do need to remember the golden rules in relation to work-related expenses. You must have spent the money on a work-related expense. You mustn't have been reimbursed by your employer or by some other third party, and you must have supporting documentation, you know, a receipt or an invoice or whatever. Without supporting documentation, really, you can't make the claim. So, work-related expenses is a primary focus area. In addition, they are going to be looking at property investors. Again, there are lots of issues with property investors' tax returns, people claiming things that they shouldn't be claiming, you know, in relation to loan interest, for example, people claiming loan interest on the family home, people claiming loan interest in relation to a property which they're not actually renting out, people claiming initial repairs, so repairs which are done immediately after the property is actually acquired, which actually related to the previous owner's dereliction. You can't actually claim a deduction for that kind of thing, and the ATO is looking really closely at those initial repair claims. So property investors are certainly a major focus area. The sharing economy, lots of people are working for, you know, Uber, Airtasker. They've got the property rented out on Airbnb, and they're simply not complying with their tax obligations. So the ATO these days is getting data feeds from third parties, including the various sharing economy platforms.
Wow, yep.
Which tells them exactly who is working in the sharing economy. And so, therefore, you should expect that the ATO does actually know about your participation in the sharing economy. And if you don't disclose it on your tax return, you're simply asking for trouble. And very similarly, cryptocurrency. There's lots of cryptocurrency transactions which are never reported through the tax return. The ATO, again, has data feeds from cryptocurrency exchanges. So the chances are that the ATO does actually know that you're involved with cryptocurrency. So therefore, do make sure you do disclose it properly in your tax return. Those are all really the focus areas this year.
I was wondering if you're going to mention crypto there, Mark. And yes, I'm sure a lot of people aren't surprised. That's going to be an area of focus. You also mentioned working from home expenses at the top there. Obviously, there are a lot of people working from home now, including me right now as we record, or, you know, working from home part-time. So is there anything that they need to know about working from home expenses and I guess how they've changed since the pandemic when a lot of people really first kind of started paying attention to them?
Yes, well, I mean, the ATO has changed the mechanism for making claims. So there used to be the old 80-cent rate, which, and the substantiation requirements were comparatively light. You just need to keep a record of your working from home for 4 weeks. And that could then be extrapolated out across the year. The 80 cent rate is gone. The ATO has replaced it with a 67 cents per hour fixed rate, which covers energy expenses, covers your phone usage, it covers your internet usage, and it covers stationary and computer consumables. So you can't claim a deduction for any of those expenses if you actually do use 67 cents per hour method. So significantly, if you use your mobile phone for work, not just in the office, but when you're out and about or potentially, you know, when you're traveling to see clients or customers, etc., that is actually included within the working from home 67 cents per hour method. Therefore, you can't claim anything else for your mobile phone if you are using this method to claim working from home expenses. So that's important. No double dipping. That's something else that the ATO will be looking at very closely. In addition, the old method where you kept a 4 week diary, that's gone. You've now got to prove your working from home hours for the entire year. So you've got to keep, you know, a diary or timesheets or rosters from the 1st of July last year through until the 30th of June this year. You've got to have the whole year. So, you know, the potential there for taxpayers to potentially get it wrong is quite substantial. So That's one method, the 67 cents per hour fixed rate. The other method is to claim actual costs. That's the same as it always was. And it has to be said that the compliance requirements of claiming actual costs do tend to make it very unattractive for most taxpayers. You know, you've got to keep a copy of the receipt or the invoice for every single expense. You've got to apportion the expenses between your private use and your work use. That does tend to be quite difficult for most taxpayers, and therefore the fixed rate method is definitely preferred by most taxpayers.
I can see why. I definitely seem a lot simpler. So we've talked about a little bit about some of the things that people need to be aware of in terms of tax changes and ATO priorities for this year. And in a second, I want to get into how people can actually start preparing. But first, today's episode of the Friends with Money podcast is brought to you by CPI Plus from Host Plus. Are you a retiree looking to grow your pension investment returns, but uncertain about taking on too much risk? CPI Plus is a pension investment option that aims to deliver more certainty and consistent returns without sacrificing long-term growth. It's a lower risk, lower volatility investment option where returns are set in advance at a percentage above the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. Plus, subject to a minimum investment amount, it's designed to give you the flexibility to invest some or all of your pension and access funds whenever needed. Search Host Plus CPI Plus today. So Mark, picking back up, what are some of the things that you would recommend that people start doing now to get organized for tax season?
Yeah, well, now is a very good time to gather together all the evidence you'll need to complete the tax return. So, for example, you'll need all your evidence of your income, such as payslips, dividend statements, etc. And crucially, you'll need all the evidence of what you've spent and intend to claim, because that is, going back to my earlier point, a real focus area for the ATO. So the golden rule is that you can't make a claim unless you can prove that you spent the money.
Sure.
And also that you weren't reimbursed by your employer. So make sure that you keep all of the relevant receipts, the invoices, the bank statements, and credit card statements. If you can't find that supporting documentation, you know, maybe give the retailer a ring and maybe get a copy of the receipt sent to you. That will certainly make things easier when you come to prepare your tax return. So, you know, if you've got all of your documentation, all of your records ready, that will inevitably make the process of completing your tax return, whether you do it yourself or whether you use a tax agent, far more straightforward. In terms of other things that you can do, you know, if potentially you use your car for work and you do more than 5,000 kilometers, you really should be using the actual method to claim your deductions in relation to your motor vehicle usage, instead of the fixed rate method, which is only available where you do 5,000 kilometers or less. So therefore, if you haven't already got a logbook and you haven't kept one in relation to the previous 4 years, you do need to keep a logbook. So now is a great time to start doing that. It needs to be kept for 12 weeks. Doesn't matter that it spans the end of the financial year, so long as you have that when you do your tax return. So it does pay to do a bit of forward planning in relation to motor vehicle claims.
Mark, before we let you go, there may also be room for, you know, a few last minute deductions, right? So what kind of deductions might people want to consider?
Well, if you've got some spare cash, which I know is a big if in the current environment, you could certainly look at making a personal contribution into your super fund. So everybody gets a $27,500 concessional contribution cap each year. So that means that they can pay up to $27,500 into their super fund and get tax relief. Now, part of that is always accounted for by your employer's contributions, but they tend not to to use up that entire contribution. So any surplus, if you like, can potentially be paid into your super fund by yourself, and you can claim a tax deduction for doing it. Therefore, you know, potentially, if you're a high income earner, you can get up to 45% tax relief for any contribution that you pay into super. that simply is a bit of a no-brainer, really, if you've actually got some cash. Other ones, you could potentially, if you make a charitable donation, you can claim a tax deduction if that charitable donation is over $2 with a receipt. So, you know, you could potentially look at making some donations there. Handbags or briefcase, you could go out and buy a work-related handbag or a briefcase and get a tax deduction for doing it. You can prepay any subscriptions or memberships for the next tax year, and therefore you do actually get the tax deduction this year, which is particularly valuable this year because you'll be getting a tax deduction at a higher tax rate compared to next year when the tax cut comes in, when it'll be at a lower rate. So that's worthwhile considering as well. You know, really all of those potential ideas are worth exploring in terms of getting last minute tax deductions.
You've definitely reminded me that I've got to renew a couple of subscriptions before the end of financial year. So thank you for that, Mark. I must say that I am feeling far more prepared than I was, and hopefully you are as well, listeners. So Mark, thank you so much for coming on. It is always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to chatting again soon.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Speaking of thanks, I'd also like to give a big shout out to today's sponsor, because the Friends with Money podcast is brought to you by CPI Plus from Host Plus. If you're a retiree looking for more certainty from your pension investment returns, search Host Plus CPI Plus today. That's all for this episode, but don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news, or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, we'll be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, I am Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
Sponsored by Host Plus Pty Limited. General advice only. Consider your circumstances and the relevant Host Plus PDS and TMD available at hostplus.com.au before deciding if Host Plus is appropriate for you. Though returns above inflation are predetermined annually, Host Plus may adjust the return rate with 30 days' notice. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance.